On this third Sunday of Easter, we are so blessed by the church to be given beautiful scriptures to pray with today, as we always do. God gives us his word free of charge. What a blessing. And there's much that could be said. As I always say, you could go on for hours and hours about all the passages from Acts and Revelation. But it's the gospel today that I want to focus on, because for years it has moved me. It's one of my favorite gospel stories. Every time that I pray with it and proclaim it and preach about it, I'm always moved to tears sometimes just over how beautiful a scene it really is. And as I always say, you know, that scene is not just something that happened a long time ago. It's our story too. It's our story too, if we are able to find ourselves in it. Indeed, we can and we must. How is that exactly? Lots of things in this gospel. Again, pages with a commentary, but I could identify maybe a theme about it this morning, which goes kind of like this. Jesus comes to strengthen us. We learn that he comes to strengthen us, and we also learn how he does it. We learn that he comes to strengthen us, and we learn how. Some of the ways how, anyway. There are many. How do we know that? Well, on the premise that he comes to strengthen us, then we must ask the question, well, at least in the gospel story, how was there a weakness going on? What was broken, what had to be fixed or strengthened? And the answer, if you look carefully, goes kind of like this. It's pretty clear that the apostles needed to be strengthened in this situation. They were not doing so well, especially Peter, their leader. Why is that? How do you know? Well, there's a few reasons. First of all, a few verses before this, from a couple Sundays ago and then last Sunday, we know that Jesus, when he came back from the dead, gave his apostles, his closest followers, a very specific commandment. He says, go out and teach. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven, whose sins you retain, they are retained, and whoever receives you receives me. So go out and spread this message of mercy in the gospel to all the world. Go out. This was in Jerusalem where he said this on Easter Sunday night. That was his commandment. Where do we find them today? A few weeks later, we find them in Galilee. Back home. And what are they doing? They want to go fishing. Why? Now, when Peter says, I'm going fishing, it's not his way of saying, this is like a hobby, it's a nice Sunday afternoon, let's go out to the lake, like Big Cedar Lake or Winnebago, and catch some fish. He's trying to say, probably, I'm done with this whole apostleship thing. Jesus is gone, we watched him be crucified, and I know how to fish, I can do that. I'm going back to my old way of life, back to my nets, I'm finished. And why? Because he thought he had failed. He was weighed down by his own sins, by the fact that in the hour of need, in that critical time in the high priest's courtyard, he denied the master. He denied the Lord and his friend. He turned away from him, and he knew it. It weighed on his heart. And the others, most of them, they'd all run away too. So rather than going out confident in the mission, like Jesus told them to, they went back home instead and thought, I'm going back to my old way of life. We're done. We failed. End of story. Jesus appears in the story, as we heard so beautifully. And when the beloved disciple recognizes who it is the Lord, Peter does something interesting. He jumps into the water. He's lightly clad, it said, because he was ashamed. That's why he did that. He was having what we might call today suffering from a psychological deficit. How about that? Having a bad day, no? Think back to the book of Genesis when Adam and Eve sin and God comes looking for them in the garden and they realize that they're naked, so they hide from him because they're ashamed of what they have done. That's what Peter's doing. He's hiding from the Lord because he's ashamed and he's naked like Adam, so he hides himself in the water. What else can he do? So they are having a problem. They've been weakened by their failures and compromised, and they don't know what to do, so they quit, basically. That's one way to read the story anyhow. I don't know about you, but it's true for me. There have been many times in my life, especially as a priest, where I find myself in a similar situation, where I wake up the next morning after doing some horribly awful thing, some sin, or making some grave mistake as a pastor or whatever, going, I'm done. I'm done with this. I failed. I'm not worthy to be a priest anymore. I'm a bad pastor. I'm a bad preacher. Forget it, Lord. I'm going back to whatever I used to do. You can have this whole project. Parents, grandparents, I'm sure there are nights when you go to bed going, I'm done. I'm a bad parent. My kids hate me. They didn't turn out like I thought they were going to. They married the wrong person. I don't know. Insert whatever the problem is, right? or I'm a bad teacher, I'm a bad lawyer, I'm a bad this, I'm a bad that. We all have moments, bad husband, bad wife, where we say, Lord, take this calling from you. I'm done. I'm not up to the task and I have failed you. Clearly, I'm not any good at this. I'm going fishing. Forget it. So in our compromised state, back then in the gospel and now today, and again, we're all there at some points in life. I certainly am, I assure you. Jesus comes to strengthen us. He doesn't leave us there. He doesn't want us to stay there. He comes to strengthen us in our failures. How does he do it? There's a few ways that are very important in the story that are teased out here, right? First of all, in the story, when they first go out fishing, because they're going to abandon his commandment and abandon his mission and do things on their own, they catch nothing. They bear no fruit apart from him. That's clear. But when he comes and speaks a word to them and some instructions, cast your net over here, he says, well, then they catch a whole bunch of fish. Then they bear fruit. So you see, his word is what bears fruit. His word strengthens them. When they listen to him again, then good things begin to happen. For us too, no, if we're having a difficult time, we have got to turn to the scriptures and come back to things again and again that move our hearts in the holy word. Maybe all of you have, at least I hope you do, a favorite psalm or a scripture story or some passages in a prayer book or a missal that you have at home or that you keep with you. We all need to have those passages of the holy word, of the scriptures, that we go back to again and again when we're having a bad day. That's how he strengthens us in the church. He feeds us with his word, and that's what keeps us strong and moving forward when things have been difficult for us in some way, shape, or form. As parents, priests, teachers, kids, whatever, we all have to have his word close to us. Another way that he keeps us strong, he comes to strengthen us when we're having a hard time, is illustrated in the whole feeding business that goes on in the story. It's no accident that if you look at all of the post-resurrection appearances in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, pretty much every one of them has this in common. They all involve food. He feeds them almost every single time. He teaches and he feeds. Why is he doing that? In that short time he had with them before he was ascended to his Father on the beautiful feast, the Ascension, that 40 days, as Luke says, in that time, he's trying to establish a pattern for them, that they learn something. Namely, that in the Word and in the Eucharist, they're going to be strengthened going forward. He's trying to show them, in my Word, in my sacraments, at the breaking of the bread, I will be present to you. So he's establishing the pattern of the church's life that's going to go forward now until the end of time, all the way until today where we are today. He feeds them for a reason. That's the Eucharist. That's the sacraments. So for us too, right, we had to take our cue from the first Christians who preserved the story for many reasons, one of them being it showed what the Mass really was. Jesus is present in his risen form in the Mass. He comes in baptism, which we're going to see in a few moments here at Mass. He comes in confession. He comes in the Holy Eucharist beautifully to feed us. He comes, as Pope Francis reminded us last week with his letter, in marriage to strengthen us in that beautiful sacrament, that life-giving sacrament. So in the church, Christ comes to strengthen us. We're having a hard time. And there's one final way, one last way, at least for this morning, and how there's lots more, but for this point, that's good to meditate upon a little bit, and it is this. At the end of the story, over the fire, when breakfast is finished, Jesus looks at Peter across the fire and asks him some important questions. Do you love me? Not once, not twice, but three times he asks him the same question. What's he doing? He's coming to strengthen Peter because Peter's supposed to be the leader. He's supposed to be out there leading the band, and he is sort of fallen off the saddle and off the horse, and Jesus says, you've got to get back on the saddle here, Peter. So in his asking of the question three times, he's trying to undo each of those denials in the high priest's courtyard. Three times Peter turned him down, and now he has a chance to say yes to him again in person, in his risen, glorified, merciful form. So how does God come to strengthen us when we have messed up, when we have failed, when we're doubting ourselves and doubting his mission and doubting his call for us? Well, in our prayer, he gives us the chance, like Peter does, to tell him that we love him, to say to him, I do love you, Lord, to say to him, I really messed up. I realize that I have failed. I failed you, the Master. I'm not adequate or up to the challenge. And Jesus looks at us like he does Peter that day at the fire and says, I know, I know. But I'm giving you the chance to say you love me again. And as you do, you'll be healed and you'll be strengthened. And you can realize that even with your failures, I still want you for this mission. I still want you as a pastor, Father Nathan. I still want you as a parent or a grandparent or a teacher or a lawyer or a mentor or a husband or a wife. You are still called to this. Even in your difficulties, I know you love me and I want to give you a chance to say it to me in your prayer. So how does he strengthen us? In mercy. In his mercy and in renewing our call. At the end, he tells Peter, follow me. Follow me. God says it to us too, right? At the end of our day when we're frustrated or annoyed or busy pitting ourselves, Jesus says, look, get over yourself just a little bit. Keep paying the bills, answer some more emails, put the dishes away, put the kids to bed, get up in the morning, go to work, and get over yourself and just follow me. It's the living out of the vocation and the mission that will remedy the deficit going on in your soul. Just walk after me. That's all I ask, Jesus says. And indeed, when we do, remedies come in beautiful ways. So we are all people at times, I think you would agree if you're honest, who need to be strengthened. Life is hard. Vocations are hard. Being a Christian is hard. It's a fact. But he comes with his word. He comes with the sacraments. He comes in his church. And he comes with mercy. And in our prayer, he lets us tell him that we love him so he can invite us to follow after him anew, again and again each day. So no matter what we've done, let us always resolve to get up again and follow after him this day, all days, every day, until the Master comes again that calls us home. That is the beautiful adventure and promise and vocation of Christianity. For that we give him praise and we give him thanks.